I'd like to go to my message to you. My scripture reading is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you for each one that's made their decision to be in your house of praise. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Yeshua of Nazareth, we ask all these things and amen. And my text is one of those verses from the scripture reading, a couple of them, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. My message to you today is spiritual blindfolds. The blindfolds of our message and our text are those blinders that keep us separated from God's true intent for our life, his true love and concern for us, and his truth that he wishes to bless and lead us with. Who is it then that we're speaking of? Who is it that blindfolds? Well, it is Satan the devil. And you see in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in whose case the God of this world, the God of this world, is the one who blindfolds. Satan the devil. And also, in Ephesians 2 and 2, let's go there, David, and we'll see another reminder of who Satan the devil is and how it is expressed in God's word about him. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the devil, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. It is Satan, the devil, that blindfolds people of this world so that they may not see that which God would have them to see, and so that they might not be brought to the situation and circumstances and events that God would have them to be brought. Why is it then? What does the Word of God say? Why does Satan blindfold? To prevent God's purpose for not only each one of us as an individual and personally from happening, but for all of mankind, to prevent God's purpose for mankind, to prevent and intervene, to deceive concerning God's plan for mankind, that is, salvation for all. The glorious gospel of Christ. Satan wants to deceive. If possible, he wants to disrupt. He wants to discourage. He wants to pervert the way. He wants to, if all possible, keep anyone and everyone from salvation, from being saved, from permanent death. He wants to keep them from being one of God's and in his family. What are some of the more popular blindfolds today? Satan chooses to blindfold so that the truth about sin and the consequences of sin is perverted. Satan wants us to believe a lie. The Word lets us know Satan is the father of lies. He is seeking to disrupt. He's seeking to destroy. And you should take it personally because he intends it personally. Not only for all of mankind, God's highest creation, but also personally. He wants to get on the personal level. He wants to get between you and God, and if at all possible, he's going to do that to see that you don't find your way into God's family and into God's plan. The lie is many and varied, but the lie was there from the beginning. It was there in the Garden of Eden. It was deception from the start. He appeared, Satan the devil, as a serpent. Satan said to Eve, after God had told Eve and Adam, obey what I tell you. Don't partake of the things that I tell you not to. Obey my voice. Because if you don't, in the day that you disobey and go opposite of me, in that day you will surely die. Well, Satan was there also when these words were said, as well as Adam and Eve. And you know what? You know what Satan the devil, the serpent in the garden, said in response to this from Almighty God to Adam and Eve? What was Satan's response? Let's go to Genesis 3 and verse 4. The very first of the Bible. Confrontation between man, God, and the prince of the power of the air. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." Can you imagine that? Direct rebuke of the words of the Creator. You know, Satan came into existence not as the devil, but as the most beautiful angel that had ever been created up to that point in time. But yes, God created the one that became Satan the devil, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. But God did not create Satan to be rebellious. This is something that he let the devil do on his own. The devil got caught up in his beauty. He evidently got caught up in the power and the majesty of the Heavenly Father. And evidently he wanted more of that, more attention, more glory, more power. And you know the devil then waged war in heaven. And a third of the angels in heaven went along with Satan. And that's how Satan came to be, of his own choice. Isn't that interesting? That God did not, even though he created the spiritual heavenly angels, spiritual beings, and angelic beings, part of his creation, but he did not take the power of decision making from them. They had the power to choose. Yes, no. Obey, disobey. And they chose one third of them with the most beautiful angel that God had created to that time. They chose disobedience. They chose rebellion. They sinned against God in that disobedience. Do you think that they thought that they would get by with that? Do you think that they thought that it was okay? That they could do this and come out all right? I don't know what they thought. But they certainly did not disobey God and come out okay. They went out of heaven, was cast out of heaven. And you know what heaven is like with God and the rest. Because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience, there was a price to pay. They did not get by with it. They were cast out of heaven. And as our scripture lets us know, they're on this earth now. They exist. And the little demons that are with Satan help him by doing his bidding. The devil said to Eve a direct contradiction of the words of Almighty Creator God. The serpent said, "You shall not die." Did Eve die? Satan said, "You will not surely die." God said, "You will surely die from the time you disobey me." What happened? Eve died. Death came into this world as a result of the actions of the first man and woman put on this earth. God's word stands. There is a price to pay, and will always be, for disobedience. Unrepented forgiveness. There's a common belief that's prevalent today that certainly we ought to reinforce this morning. There's a common belief that you can sin and escape suffering. What do you think? King David was one of the most notable people in the Bible. A man after God's own heart. And King David had a big failure in his life. He turned away from God for a short period of time. Did he have to pay for anything? You read your Bible and decide. Many think you can sin and escape suffering today. That you can step from morality into immorality without experiencing hurt. Satan encourages people to treat sin lightly. And I think that that is fairly prevalent in this world today. Sin is shrugged off by many, even in churches today. Sin is taken lightly. You sin at your own peril. The Bible makes it clear sin is not going to enter heaven. Salvation came. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us and for our failures, for our weaknesses. But you know, nowhere do I read that we're supposed to take sin lightly because of that. Because there's such forgiveness and grace in this world today, our Bible doesn't say every now and then it's okay to sin. Every now and then it's okay if you disobey God. Nowhere does our words make that appear like that. Always the Word of God lets us know God expects change lives. Has your lives changed since you accepted Jesus Christ? If it hadn't, something is grossly wrong. Have your actions changed? Have your conversation changed? If it hadn't, something is grossly wrong. Somebody is doing some taking of sin lightly. If change lives and reborn lives is not very evident after one comes to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Satan wants people to come to disregard sin as not being important, to take it very lightly. Let's see what James 5 and 20 has to say. James 5 and 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That's why it's so important for us to take God's love and grace seriously, and for us to be reborn again, and for our lives to change, and for our service to Him to be at the highest, so that the Holy Spirit can work through us to reach others, so that souls can be changed and souls saved from death. And my multitude of sins covered under the blood and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, at the recognition and the asking of repentance of those sins. Satan would have us blindfolded about the truth of sin and the consequences of it. There is consequences for disobedience to God. Satan wants you blindfolded, and everybody else, to that fact. Secondly, Satan wants you blindfolded in knowing the joy that you have in knowing that you go from being separated from God to an overjoy of knowing that you are accepted by Him as a child of His. You know, Jesus Christ was called the only begotten Son of God the Father. When you're converted as a Christian, you become as He. You become as a child of Almighty God. Satan would have you blinded to the fact that you can become a child of God, and you can become one of His family, and you can become heirs of all of the great things of God and of being in His family. Satan wants you blinded to that. Satan wants you blinded that God wants you in a house of worship for prayer and for study, for fellowship with the other brothers and sisters, children of God, ones in His family also. Satan wants you blindfolded to that. He wants a separation there. God wants you together as a family. Number three, Satan wants you blindfolded to the fact that God has power, and not only power, but love and concern for you individually that He will intervene in your life to change situations, to solve problems, to heal hurts, to heal afflictions, to deliver your life from the course that it is set on, which without Him takes you toward Satan, takes you toward hell. Satan would have you blindfolded to the fact that God wants you separated from that life, in His family, a child of His, an heir apparent to all that God has for His children. And you know, one of those is life everlasting. Life eternal is for every member of God's family. Satan wants you blindfolded to the fact that he can deliver you from bad habits that you might have taken up, might have had before you came to know Him. But Satan wants you blindfolded that we serve a God who is loving, who cares, who is concerned for us, and who will intervene in our life to change our life as we go through the spiritual rebirth. Let's see what John 3:16. You recognize that right off as being a great verse in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Isn't that something how that is expressed? You know what the world is comprised of. You know who all are in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that something? The death sentence was passed on all human beings after that event in the Garden of Eden. But God's plan was that the world, through Jesus Christ, would have the opportunity to make decisions in your personal life that would lead you to be exempted from death and to live forever, eternally in His kingdom. God would have you blindfolded, or Satan would have you blindfolded, to God's love. God's love is deeper and higher and wider and better than we could ever imagine. God's love is never ending. It is for each of us. God's love is to accept the world. Even the sinners of the world that call on Him and His righteous judgment, even the sinners that call on Him, to accept them, not to punish them for the past. For what's happened in the past is past. God views it as such. Cast away. To accept the sinner, but not the sinner continuing in his sin, but the sinner casting off his sin, God accepts not to punish for the past sins, but to accept for service and love. And right now I'd like to go to Romans 6 and 23. God wants sinners converted. He wants sinners accepting salvation. He wants sinners that go into the rebirth converted. Changed lives. Not the same. Living for Him in love and willingness to be open that He wants them in His service. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin, what does that mean? Wages of sin. What you get. Wages. What you get for sin. How are you going to be paid for sin? If you take sin lightly, if you do sin, if you habitually sin, and you don't have any intention of doing otherwise, the wages of sin is death. How more clear can it be? The wages of sin is hell. The wages of sin is to be one of Satan's people. And where he goes, you go. What's reserved for him is reserved for you. If you are one of his. If you are not God's. There's only two ways. If you are not God's, you must be His. What other is there? It is no other. That's why it's important. We should not take sin lightly. It's a matter of eternal life. It's a matter of being totally and completely separated from God for all eternity. And in essence, it's a difference between getting to a point where you are no more. If you are one of Satan's, you cease to exist at a certain point in time, and it's as though you don't exist. There's nothing left. There's nothing further. But if you are one of God's, life eternal, forever lasting, never ending. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see such a tremendous difference? In allowing sin in your life to be taken lightly, shrugged off, and not taken so important as to know that if there's sin in your life, you need to immediately recognize it and immediately call on God for forgiveness. Absolutely. When we sin, there is only one thing to do. Go to God sincerely and ask forgiveness and then be subject to God and His Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives and each day live it to the fullest for God in full obedience to Him. Lastly, the devil would have you blindfolded to the plan of God. The simplicity of the plan of God. And that is salvation. That family Not only our family here on earth is of great importance, tremendous importance to our peace, our happiness, our joy, everything that's worth, that has any worth, a good family is part of that. And not only family on this earth, but family of God, being part of the God family. And God wants us to know that being in His family, He wants service from us. He wants us to recognize Him and His plan for us, which always involves gifts that He gave you by bringing you into this world. He gave you gifts. And He wants you to use these gifts in service for Him. Man's view of life is materialistic, and it's commercialized. God's view of life is just the opposite. It's not something that you purchase, not something you have to have money and do it man's way in order to get. And it's not even by merit, but God's way is that He loves us. He wants us in His family. He wants us to respond to Him personally. And He wants us to be with Him forever and ever. And I say to you today, don't regard sin ever lightly. Not your own, not your children, not your neighbor, not anyone. Don't regard it lightly. Don't let Satan blindfold you in any of these popular, common ways that we've been over today. Keep your thoughts, keep your mind, keep your heart on God, and always be open and obedient to Him. Let's go to our blessing from God, and let's read that blessing from God together. This is in Numbers 6, 24. If you would, stand with me. Let's all bless each other, and others bless ourselves. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen.